This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss! And all is right in the world! Tigers win! Tigers win! The national championship is headed back to Baton Rouge! The dogpile begins left of the mound!
Yes, indeed, that was the call from last night's LSU national championship victory over Florida. Joining us from the SEC Network is LSU and SEC great Todd Walker. Always appreciate the time, my man. And how was your stay in Omaha? I'm sure fantastic after yesterday's ending.
Man, I got there Thursday, June 15th, and left late. After the game, I drove to Kansas City. I couldn't even get out of Omaha this morning, so I had to drive to Kansas City to get a flight back here to Shreveport. Back home in Louisiana now, but what a ride it was. And of course, unexpected. If you'd have told me LSU was going to lose a game and have to fight their way back through the loser's bracket with the pitching situation the way it was, I wouldn't have given them much of a chance. But what a surprise that was, and a pleasant surprise, especially for us that pull for the Tigers.
Now, Todd, look, you considered probably LSU greatest positional player, and then all of a sudden you got a guy like Dylan Cruz. You look at Ben McDonald, and then you got Paul Skeens. I mean, how is it? Because you always want to live in infamy. I don't know. You're not a Roman emperor, but you want to live in infamy. That kind of passing the torch, and how truly the fan base appreciates LSU baseball. My understanding that when you walk around Omaha, if anyone's around you, you're like a rock star, a movie star, and people want to take pictures. Is that true or what? Because I think that's the case, because we appreciate our great players, whether it's you or a Ben McDonald, considering what you did for LSU baseball.
Coming from you, Bobby, that's high praise, man. I try to tell my wife I'm a Roman emperor, but she doesn't buy it. But I think that for me, it's been 30 years. I think Paul Skeens had the greatest season for a pitcher in college baseball history, not just LSU, but I think anywhere in the country, but definitely LSU. Ben McDonald was the greatest pitcher in LSU history. He was there 3 years. And then Dylan Cruz and what he did this year was just incredibly impressive. Now, Dylan Cruz was there 3 years. I'm very proud of what I did in the early 90s and especially the 1993 season. But it's been 30 years, and Dylan Cruz certainly deserves all the praise that he's gotten. What a phenomenal year. The most impressive stat is the on-base streak he had. I don't know, 72, 73
75.
It spanned the whole year, including some of last year. That is to do, especially when you're the target. So to me, out of everything, that's the most impressive. But, of course, winning a national championship, winning the Golden Spice, two-time SEC Player of the Year, and he's about to be a top draft pick, make about $10 million. Pretty good year for Dylan Cruz.
Now, Todd, I think you spoke about it, considering the adversity that LSU was going to face and how you handled adversity. And the one thing that I acknowledge, can you live up to expectations? Because if all of a sudden you preseason number one, can you finish number one? And then all of a sudden you look, you're playing 8 games in 10 days in Omaha, and then you lose to number one Wake Forest, and your back's against the wall in the loser's bracket. And then all of a sudden you got the best of the best. I mean, some fans might want to see your scores or runs. I mean, I like great pitching. I thought that was an unbelievable game, Paul Skeens against Rhett Lauder, the ultimate duo, two of the nation's best aces. And then you got back-to-back 11-inning games, won by home runs, Tommy Tanks, Tommy White, and Cade Bellisso. What? That's almost like a movie tie would occur, what we witnessed if you're an LSU fan.
It really was. There ought to be a 30-for-30 on that or something.
Right.
Most of the series, Bobby, was pretty pure. Like, you know, remember 5-10 years ago, you couldn't hit home runs. It was hard to score in that stadium. Now I believe it's fair. Like, it's fair. You can hit home runs, but certainly the pitchers can dominate too. And like you mentioned, we saw a lot of that as well. A lot of close, tight, one-run games. It was just pure baseball all the way until Sunday, when all of a sudden Florida pounds LSU for 24 runs, 23 hits. And then LSU turns it around the next day to win it all. Just crazy the way it all played out, but it was definitely entertaining, fun to watch. And, again, the LSU Tigers, you mentioned Cade Beloso, two game-changing home runs. Trey Morgan with a game-changing play at first base to, you know, to flip it to Milazzo.
Right.
Milazzo ends up breaking his shin, I think, in the last game. Yeah. Just a lot of drama, a lot of stuff going on. And then Paul Skeens was just incredible. Ty Floyd was incredible. Thatcher Hurd stepped up. The bullpen stepped up for LSU. And that's why they won, because you had a lot of guys do what you didn't expect them to do, and that's part of winning championships. But it was amazing what that team did collectively.
Now, you know, Todd, if you can look in your crystal ball, because I think, you know, you got to keep up with the Joneses. Now, when I was playing and when you coming about, they didn't have no name, image, and likeness or the transfer portal. You ain't going to transfer because you got to sit out. But you look at Tommy White and what he did at North Carolina State and the pressure there and what he did in the LSU uniform. You look at Paul Skeens coming from Air Force. Going forward, I mean, that's almost part of the game and the mixture. That's why you got to give Coach Johnson a lot of credit as far as how do you mix and match. You always want those local prospects and the opportunities if they could play on that level. But then you could pick and choose maybe from the East Coast or West Coast. Whether, like, for instance, Tommy Tanks, North Carolina State. You look at Hurd, UCLA. And then you come together and you get them to play as a team. To me, that's why we got to give Coach Johnson a lot of credit that it seems like this was truly a team effort. There was no, well, what about me? What about me? Like a selfish aspect of this Tiger team.
That's how I answered the question, what was Jay Johnson's greatest achievement this year other than winning the national championship, is he managed personality. He's got big leaguers sitting the bench. Jared Jones is going to end up playing in the big leagues. He didn't play. Joe Bear didn't play every day this year. Josh Pearson didn't play every day this year. And so managing personalities and you mentioned it, just you know, with guys in this day and age that if they don't play, they're going somewhere else. How about Hayden Travinsky that stuck around for 4 years? And all of a sudden has a big year for them. So it's incredible what they did. But back to NIL and transfer portal, good for us as LSU fans, but because it benefits LSU and maybe one or two other schools in the entire country. But if they don't go back to the year penalty for the transfers and moving around, LSU is going to win the national championship now for the foreseeable future. And if they don't, another SEC school is. 5 out of 6 champions have come out of the SEC. 3 out of the last 3 has come out of the SEC West. And so if the SEC doesn't already dominate, they're going to. Because now the conference, Bobby, is even eating, you know, it's cannibalism. We've got Dakota Jordan from Mississippi State that wants to transfer to another SEC school. So what used to happen, Pac-12 and all that, were the minor leagues for the SEC. Now you've got kids in the SEC wanting to go to better SEC. So if they don't change that rule pretty quickly, and good for us for LSU fans, but it's going to be a dominance of the top 3 or 4 teams in the SEC for the foreseeable future.
Now, you know, Todd, what do you think occurred? Because, you know, you look at LSU's bullpen, and obviously we never questioned Paul Skeens, but even Hurd and even Ty Floyd. But then this is almost like you would dream and go to sleep at night. Boy, if this would occur, you look at Ty Floyd, had a career-high 17 strikeouts over 8 innings. Tying for the second most in a single game in the College World Series, giving him 27 strikeouts in 2 starts that he had in Omaha. I mean, to me, Ty Floyd was magical, and obviously Hurd in the championship game. But you go back to, and this is back even before your day, that I look at that 17 strikeout outing that tied the record for the strikeouts in a 9-inning game in the College World Series. You got to go back to Arizona State and Ed Bain back in 1972. That's over 50 years what Ty Floyd was able to do.
Ty Floyd was unbelievable. That's another story, that best pitching performance. Look, if you take Paul Skeens' equation, the staff at LSU was 5.2, 5.3, somewhere in that range.
Right.
Take out the Sunday game where Florida pinned 24 on them. they had a sub-2 ERA in the College World Series. I mean, you never would have imagined that. But Ty Floyd, what he did, Thatcher Hurd, what he did. And I think, you know, he gave up the two-run homer yesterday, and the fact that LSU scored 6 runs on him in the top of the second gave Thatcher Hurd a lot of confidence, and he pitched like it. They didn't have – Florida sat on those 2 hits for 5 or 6 innings. It was incredible. You know, we look up, and there's still 2 hits for Florida. We're like, you know, they got those 2 hits in the first 2 hitters of the game. And so what Thatcher Hurd was able to do, the confidence level in the LSU offense, scored 6 in the second, 4 in the fourth, I believe, and just an incredible all-around deal and record-setting all over the place, including the Jell-O shots at Rocco's. just an incredible run for not only the baseball team but the fans as well.
Now, Todd, I consider you obviously you did it at the major league level at the highest regard at the highest level. But when you look at because the fans will be interested in this because they look at like Todd Walker, a living legend, but then you look at Dylan Cruz. What separates like a Todd Walker to Dylan Cruz? Explain that to the fans because, you know, you can excel at whether defensively, offensively. If you're objective and you look at Todd Walker and you look at Dylan Cruz, just explain maybe the differences there.
Well, I'm biased in that I feel like the infield is the toughest positions to play. You know, catcher, infield, up the middle, shortstop, second base, that type of stuff. Dylan Cruz runs around the outfield like a gazelle. I mean, he's just fluid, natural. Wyatt Langford for Florida, I think, can really swing the bat. I mean, that guy is so impressive. But if you look at the two together, the eye test would tell you that Dylan Cruz is the better outfielder. Now, by the numbers, I don't know. I think Dylan had better numbers. You know, I don't know if he made an error or not or whatever the case may be. May even have a stronger arm. But overall, I think for me, you know, up the middle positions are the toughest ones, and that includes center field, and that's where Dylan Cruz played. It's not for me to decide who's the better player because he had a phenomenal year. I'm proud of what I did at LSU, 92, 93, 94, collectively, and especially the 1993 season. But, again, it's been 30 years.
Right.
I'm okay passing the torch if I need to. But, I mean, what an impressive year Dylan Cruz had. And, again, the on-base percentage, the OPS, which I think is the greatest stat in baseball, because it gives you the combination of power and patience, which is a unique combination. And he had as good of an OPS as anybody's ever had. So I loved watching him. And as we all know, he was hitting 500 halfway through the season. You thought this guy might be able to pull this off and hit 500 in the SEC. So that kept your attention. So, I mean, overall, it was just awesome to watch. Kid, a good kid, too. We had him on set a couple times. Well-spoken, good-looking kid. I mean, he's got a lot going for him.
Now, you know, Todd, obviously you being a positional player and obviously wanting to get base hits or score runs, but you look at this day and age and, you know, you might talk about the size of the park or if it's a hitter's ballpark or a pitcher's ballpark, whether you're in the SEC or you're in Omaha. But, I mean, to me, I loved it. To me, that was the ultimate duel between two of the nation's best aces in Paul Skeens and Rhett Lauder. Well, what occurred there? I mean, were you a fan of that? Because you know, some casual fan, I want to see 9-7. Like if it's 0-0 or 2-1, I want more runs. You know, time changes and what's the piques the interest of the youth and all that. But to me, that was an unbelievable baseball game between Paul Skeens and Rhett Lauder.
It's really cool because again, like I said before, the ballpark was playing fair. If you had a hurricane wind going in, like we had going out on Sunday, and then you had a pitcher's duel, well, you're like, you know, okay, all right, well, this is supposed to happen.
Right.
You just throw strikes. But that was a night when it would have been easy for – not easy. It would have been not a surprise for a team to score 6, 7, 8 runs, whatever. But the pitching duel, the way the ballpark was playing that night, was what I was locked in on. I mean, it was cool that just to see the different dynamics between those two guys, the way the ball moves around. I mean, Paul Skeens is throwing 100, 102 miles an hour, and that ball's got some late life. I mean, it's moving. It's, you know, it used to be if you threw that hard, it was a four-seamer, and it was straight. So for me as a hitter, if I knew you were throwing a fastball, it didn't matter how fast you threw it. I could put a barrel on it. But Skeens has late life with that thing as well. So where you see it in one spot and where you hit it is two different spots. And so that's what makes the movement so important. And that's what's impressive about Paul Skeens is he moves it around. He used 16% changeups the one night. I don't know if it was that night or whatever. And his normal percent changeups. So he's the chart. He knew that when they were sitting on his fastball, he could go to that changeup, moving it away from the left-handed hitters and into the righties and get and have it be effective. And he just went to it that night, and he was just dropping it right on the outside corner against the left-handed hitters. And so the pitchability, in addition to everything else I just said with Paul Skenes, and Rhett Lauder had the same thing going that night. It was fun to watch.
Now, you know, Todd, obviously, you know, right coach, you know, right place, whatever, what comes about. But Jay Johnson, I think he said it best. I want to you to elaborate on this. He's doing an interview after the game, and he just classified it with a number of rights. He goes, right people, right place, right time. But he's the boss. He's the one to pull the trigger and make that happen. I mean, listen, I love Skip Bertman, what he did for college baseball. You look at LSU's program, Mississippi State, what all came about, Paul Maneri, and all that. But right now, Jay Johnson and the pulse he has on this team, and when he makes a statement like right people, right place, right time, I mean, to me, he should run for governor. He might win. I mean.
Well, he's got his first national championship. Bertman won five. Right. You know, and we know that Skip Bertman was the governor. So, right. You know, the right place, Wes Johnson, the pitching coach, who just now got the head coaching
job in Georgia,
you know, considered one of the better pitching coaches. And whatever you want to say about Wes Johnson, what the pitching staff did at the end of this season, and especially in Omaha, you can't credit Wes Johnson enough about what he said to him, what they had been working all year on, and how he made him feel comfortable and all the other stuff. Even if it was just psychological, what Wes Johnson did was incredible. The right person in the right spot, you know, and on down the list of the coaching staff and everything that they did to make this thing work. And, of course, Jay Johnson's been there twice. And keep in mind, back in 2016 against Coastal Carolina, they won game one of the finals and lost the next two. So now Jay Johnson was staring that right in the face yesterday with a game three, you know, where yep. They won the first game, lost the second. And you know he was having nightmares. No, this can't happen twice to me in the last, you know, 10 years or whatever. And so, but he gets it done, you know, and the guys on the field got it done, of course. And how about Jordan Thompson, who turns it around, you know, had a rough game on Sunday.
That is awesome.
It comes right back around. And me and Dari Noka sitting on the front row there going, if he gets a base hit right here, they'll forget about everything that's happened. He's 1-for-30 or whatever in the series. And sure enough, he rips that ball to the left, you know, base hit. The fans are cheering, you know, Jordan Thompson, and it was really a cool moment. And that's easier to do when you're up by eight versus, you know, if you were down. But they really got behind Jordan Thompson. I know he appreciated that.
Well, you know, Todd, I don't know. Maybe I get too emotional at times. I'm like, my wife looks at me like, it looks like you're about to ready to start crying. I'm like, Jordan Thompson, that's unbelievable. Because, you know, you have a kid. He has a mom and dad or himself and how you handle adversity. And to come up with that critical hit, considering like you 1-for-30 and ducks on the pond, or you have 0-2, two strikes. Oh, he's going to whiff. And then all of a sudden you come through and then you have an outstanding game. And that's why you got to trust Coach Johnson and who you go to battle with and all that. That's why, to me, right there, that's a teaching moment for your kids or grandkids, whatever, and that not, oh, woe is me and all that, because, you know, social media now, it's a lot different and how people attack you. But I tell you what, I was so encouraged and just ecstatic that he was able to come through like he came through.
Yeah, and again, he's a college kid. I'm all about, you know, if a guy's making $30 million and a couple balls around, you know, you get on him because he's making $30 million. Let's go. But if you're a college kid, you know, doing the best you can, there were two comeback stories in that. One was Jordan Thompson, of course, and the other one was the LSU team as a whole coming back on Monday from what happened Sunday. So, to your point, it's a great teaching point on baseball or life where you don't get too high, you don't get too low, you don't let one at-bat affect the next, one day does not affect the next. And you give it everything you got, no matter what the circumstances. And it sounds easy enough to do, but it's hard when you go into game three thinking you had this national championship won, and all of a sudden your back's against the wall. You're down 2-0 in the first inning thinking, we're going to lose this after we won the first game. And just the moxie and everything that went on with that team to turn it around, 6 runs in the top of the second and then go from there, just incredible. Incredible story, incredible lessons.
Welcome back to the boot, Mr. Walker. I'm sorry it's not as cool as Omaha, Nebraska right now, but any chance we'll see you at the box tomorrow for the celebration?
No, man, I've got to go to Dallas. I'm doing some high school baseball now.
Gotcha.
Over. We're going to do some ESPN stuff this weekend and at Dallas Baptist, but I'll be cheering them from a distance.
Gotcha.
Well, thanks for coming on, Todd.
Definitely. Always appreciate the time. Todd Walker, SEC baseball analyst and SEC legend. Always great with the time and always appreciate your knowledge.
Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.